Just a top caller and colleague.
Okay, thank you. Unfortunately, my South African colleagues are not here, but I will be talking on behalf of them anyway. And I will maybe explain at the end a bit why we are interested in the kind of issues that we are talking about today, and why the issue of looking at detailed instances of interaction and combining them to societal context is an important issue for them, and is always a kind of a quarrel between us when I work with them. Ray knows all about it because you know Claire. And what's this? Which one should I?
Use this one, Tom. Is it, that you can then wander around with it.
The this one?
Yeah. Left and right.
Okay. What I'll be talking about is one of the most basic notions of the conversation analytical enterprise, perhaps interceptivity, where one of the issues that participants in interaction are always concerned with is to get to the degree on what is the activity in which we are involved, what are the relevant identities, what are we talking about, etc., etc. And one of the main findings starting points of conversation analysis is actually that we make, when we are talking, when we are doing engaged in interaction, we make answers to these questions observable to each other. This need not be an explicit observability. I mean, I don't have to go around with you, and you don't have to tell me each individually. I understand this to be a workshop, and I understand this to be a lecture. But you find ways by being silent and by gazing attentively at me to show me your understanding of this event. And so we have lots of very implicit, as you may call them, ways of doing that. But there also are some methods that we have that are specialized in doing that kind of work. One of these methods is what I'm going to talk about today, and that is what you might gloss as checks of epistemic access, but questions like, do you know X or do you understand X? And the main question that I will be addressing today is the question for which I would like Andrew to stand up facing the wall. Here you have it. Why that now?
It's also on the t-shirt underneath.
It's
as well.
Underneath,
yeah.
Oh, thank you. We'll keep with that. So what in looking at different kinds of data that I will introduce in a minute, I've been wondering about issues like what occasions a question like this to be there and not in another place. What does it do by being asked in that position on that occasion and not in similar occasions in other parts of the talk? And of course, then the question is, what is done with these kind of checks by producing them there and then? The data that I will be talking about are three kinds. All three kinds may be glossed as service encounters. The first is the data that Jenny Watermeyer from Johannesburg collected as part of her PhD project, and these are talks in a HIV clinic in South Africa between pharmacists and HIV patients, in which the pharmacists explain to patients how to take their drugs or to how to give the drugs to their children. The second is from a project that Marloes and Nell and Marloes and Louisa, who have come with me, are starting right now, and that is a project on financial communication. And these are talks between bank employees and clients on the options for house loans, And the third is a type of data that I've been working on over the past several years, and these are mathematics teachers doing explanations to students. I will first give you an idea of these data and the questions that I'm interested in, and then after that I will look at them in more detail. If you look at this one, this is from a pharmacist explanation where the pharmacist says, and then you pull it up to two again, so you raise the amount to two, then the patient says okay, and then the pharmacist says 7 o'clock in the morning and 7 o'clock at night, and the patient says okay, and then the pharmacist says okay, you understand this one, and the patient says yes, and then the pharmacist says you're very clear on this one, and the pharmacist the patient says yes. So now my question with these kind of data, why should this be repeated? In the first place, of course, you see in line 167 that the patient does an okay, and still there are two of these checks, and my question is what happens and what does the pharmacist do by doing these repeated checks? Now the house loan data look like this. For example, there's an advisor who says, and so when you pay more taxes, then you get back more. This is, of course, very interesting. It means, well, I'm not going to explain what it means.
But it's true.
And then the client says, oh. And the advisor says, do you understand that? And the client says yes. Now here it's already more obvious why an advisor would ask the question in line 4, because the O appears to be less than convincing that that she really understands what's going on. And then there's the mathematics lessons that are all about graphs like this. And where students have to do simple things like say, how tall was Peter when he was 7 years old? Juk, juk, juk. And that's the kind of work they want to do. And then there's, for example, this one where the teacher is explaining, look on which axis it says 20 hours. Here are the hours, and then there's a 0.4 pause, and here are the degrees, and then there's a 0.2 pause, and then the teacher says, do you see? And now my question is, why does that do you see follow the 1.2 pause, 7 pause, and not the 1.4 pause? What's the teacher doing by doing it there and then and not in a different position? Okay. Now, apart from these examples, that are all very retrospective in the sense that they check on something that has been explained, we also find prospective ones like this one. Here the advisor is in the mortgage talks is closing off a topic in lines 2 and 3, and the client says okay, and then introduces a new topic, the National Mortgage Trust. And after introducing it, after nominating the topic, the advisor immediately asks, I don't know if you're familiar with that. And then there's a pause, and then the advisor says no, and the client says no. So these are prospective ones. And you see the same kind of, same phenomenon also in the mathematics data, where the teacher says, do you know what a sawtooth is? Now a sawtooth is this thing, this thing underneath. Do you know what a sawtooth is? And then and that's before he starts the explanation. So after he's made sure that the student knows what a sawtooth is, then he starts the explanation. And just one thing before I go on. These questions are all, I call them checks, because they are very different from the kind of do you know questions that you often see in everyday talk, like this one, for example. This is a telephone conversation about about the hockey stick. Rose asks Mart, do you know if it's in order? And Mart says, I believe it's still okay. I'm not sure, but I think it is. And of course, this do you know is a very different do you know question. To phrase it canonically, the first are more the teacher-like questions, the known answer questions, and this is more the type a real question to which the Rose doesn't know the answer yet. Okay. Now, let's do some observations on the contingent character of these checks. What we've seen is that and I'll show you to you again, that the checks may respond to what you could call less than convincing displays of understanding, like a very lowly voiced "oh," or something like that. They may respond to pauses. And actually, in the mathematics data that I looked at again for this purpose, I found to my surprise that the explicit "do you understand" question always follows some is used to initiate the closing of an explanation in which a high risk of not understanding has been made observable, has been displayed. So, for example, it's never used to initiate the closing of a first explanation, but it's always used after a first explanation has not been successful and the teacher engages in the second explanation to the same student. Then that second explanation is followed by maybe followed, not always, but when it occurs, the "do you understand" question, it's always in response to initiate the closing of a second explanation. And there's one occasion, but it's just one occasion where a student asks a question that's so intelligent that the teacher says, "I think this is going to be very difficult for you," the answer. And after he said, "This is going to be very difficult for you," at the end of his explanation, he asked, he checks, "Do you understand?" So again, there's not so much a display of high risk of understanding on the part of the student, but there was talk about a high risk of understanding. Now here's the "O" again. So what you see here is that the client produces in line three an "O" in a very low voice, and this is treated by the advisor as an occasion to ask this "do you understand" question. Here again you can see, well, you can't see it, but because it, but now you can. Yes, now you can see it. There's the 1.7 pause in response to which the teacher asks this question. But now the other thing, the question, why not here, and why there? Then you come to some observations on the way in which these checks do a job in indexing elements of context. Because what you see is that these checks also do work in indexing particular things as important. It's not just that for example, the mortgage advisor needs to know whether the client is familiar with the national what's it called, the National Mortgage Trust or whatever, but it's also that it's apparently he finds it important that the client should know that. So by singling out a topic like the National Mortgage Trust for a comprehension check, for a such a check, he also marks the importance of that topic. So that's one thing. The other thing is that these checks index an element of knowing or understanding as potentially at risk. And not because it has been displayed particularly, like in the example that I just showed, but also because there may be contextual features, and I will talk about that in a minute or less. There may be contextual features that that may be may induce someone to think that there may be a risk at understanding. And then finally, what you see is that these checks also work to partition a piece of talk into certain parts, and to say this is what belongs together, and this is what belongs together, and this is what belongs together, and so they also work in that way. And I'll show you again here the way in which the simple fact that the advisor says, I don't know if you're familiar with that, with the National Mortgage Trust, is a way of indexing the importance of the National Mortgage Trust, and it's important that you know that before I can go on. So this is the example of indexing something as important. Now here's a second example from the South African data, where the pharmacists no less than four times ask whether whether the patient understands. So, okay, you're sharp now? Yes. You're sure? Yes. I don't want you to leave here if you're not sure. I'm okay. You're very sure? Yes. Okay, then I'm very happy. And of course, what happens here is in the first place, this is also perhaps indexing the importance of this knowledge, one of the reasons why this is important is, of course, that it's vital, and in this case, vital is a literal term. It's vital that you take these medicines and these drugs in the right amount at the right time, because else you are going to die. But there's also there's also the context of language differences, of culture differences. These are the interesting thing, of course, that you can't tell which of the context is indexed there, but you can say and these are precisely the kind of discussions that I have with my South African colleagues Jenny and Claire, that they say, well, it's obvious that this is at stake. It's obvious. And my question is always, well, I can see them repeating these things, and I can see that this indexes, but I can't see exactly what of these contextual elements is indexed here. But I can see that there is work going on, interactional work, that seems to say this is important, or understandability is at risk, and this may have to do with the fact that the pharmacists are all Afrikaans speaking, although they speak in English and they speak to patients who are Setswana speakers. So these issues may be at stake in the repetitions of these checks that we see. This other context may also be at stake, that antiretroviral therapy is dependent on a certain regularity every 12 hours and a certain amount of drugs every 12 hours. And these things may all be at stake. And the interesting thing is, of course, that although you know they can be at stake, and you see that some particular practices going on there in terms of repeating these checks, it's still very hard to pinpoint precisely what the contextual factors are that are being indexed there, although you know quite a bit about these contexts. And then the partitioning part, here you again have the explanation that we looked at just now, only I've now drawn out, I drew it out a bit so that you can have a better look. And what you see here is that these are the occasions where the teacher does these checks. He says, do you see? And then yes, and then another yes. But then there are other occasions where he doesn't do it, like here. Why doesn't he do a check after here are the hours? Why doesn't he say here are the hours? Yes, or why here are the hours? Do you see? Or why doesn't he do here? Somewhere it says 20 hours. Why doesn't he check whether the student has seen? Or why doesn't he do it here? You look in the graph for the corresponding point. Why doesn't he do it here? I'm not in a position to precisely answer the question why he doesn't do it here, but I can say something as to what he does by not doing it there, namely that he sort of structures the talk in this way, and he sort of partitions parts. So here are the hours, here are the degrees, is treated by the check as one part of the explanation, and somewhere it says 20 hours, oh, there is treated as another part. That should be acknowledged, apparently, and you look in the graph for the corresponding point, that point is treated as another part. So one thing, of course, these things also do the work of checking understanding, but they also do the work of partitioning and showing this is belonging together, this belongs together, this belongs together, this belongs together. Okay, some concluding remarks. We've seen that these checks can both be prospective and retrospective. Sometimes they come before something is going to be explained. Sometimes they come after something is going to be has been explained. We see they may respond to a trouble risk that is. Displayed by the client in these service encounters, so be it a patient, be it a student, or whatever. Sometimes they are more seem to be initiated by the institutional agent, and they can be called more contextual, like for example they are contextual in the sense that they index. The agent knowledge of house loans, or the agent knowledge of mathematics, or the agent knowledge of the language situation, or the agent knowledge of use of drugs, or whatever. And the interesting thing in the end is, of course, that also these contextual things, although they seem to do the work of indexing all kind of referential frames, they still are very, very contingent at the same time. It's not that there are some that are contingent and some that are contextual. It's rather a matter of the moments and the ways in which these checks are done do the work of responding to what the client is doing. Then it's always doing that, but at the same time it may do also the work of index some kind of information that is not explicitly referred to, but rather indexed by the positioning of these checks. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. Excellent. We've got plenty of time for questions, comments, observations. Yes, Ava.
I just wondered what you thought the role of listening and attending checks within this, because I think that builds in to some of the jobs that you're talking about with the epistemic check element, that the use of do you know, as are you still listening, are you still attending, you know, because I think that's both in the partitioning thing, that if you've got bored with my long explanation of mortgages here, hello, there's a new mortgage segment, and also the importance part that you've lost. You're a student, oh god, this graph thing, I'm bored now. A new bit of, you know, so then.
Yeah, well, actually, the interesting thing about what you say now is that when you see the teacher say, do you see, in line, well, it doesn't have a line, but actually he says here, do you see? Well, this is actually very literal here. This is not do you see in the sense of do you understand, but do you see where I'm pointing in the in the textbook? And I have no doubt that these things are also do the work of gaining or retaining attention of your co-participant. And then still at the same time, I think the question remains whether why the teacher doesn't do it here, or why the teacher doesn't do it here, and it still also does the work of partitioning the talk in certain bits, in certain chunks of information, like this belongs together, that belongs together.
Two questions, I think we'll stack them up together because time's moving on. So Liz Thurgood and Anna Lindstrom.
I'm wondering about maybe particularly in the medical context, the accountability of the person asking the question for doing effective communication to the patient, because it reminds me a bit of the My Police data, where you've got the police officer explaining to the suspect their rights to legal representation. And they vary then with what happens next and how much that explanation and understanding the checks gets expanded. So you get an explanation of something that's important, a bit like your medical setting where it's important for the person to to understand, but it's also important for the police officer to show I'm doing and I'm pursuing. So you'll get an explanation and do you understand? Are you sure you understand? And then sometimes you'll also get, and I wonder whether you have this, okay, so tell me what you think I've just said. So you'll get a step even further.
Yeah.
To check that you really understand. I don't mean to say yes or no, but explain all this actually. Some of that is about my accountability for explaining to you, so then I can go on and interrogate you. I've checked all this stuff officially formally already.
Well, that's an interesting one, because, for example, in the mortgage talks, one issue is that there's... These mortgage advisors are legally required to build into their consultation a number of questions. Are you aware of the risk such and these are legally prescribed to be building on in whatever way and so the accountability there is an issue. And what surprises me, and I'm not sure about the South African pharmacist, but it may very well be the same there. But what surprises me is that that you don't expect particularly not see the kind of questions. Just tell me what I just told you. The kind of demonstration requests, because the repetitions always project the same type of answer. Do you understand? Yes. Do you really understand? Yes. Do you really understand? Yes.
Yeah.
But they don't change the format in a direction of now demonstrate that you understand. And
that's time for one last question from Anna.
Yeah, I was just thinking about other initiated repair. You didn't reference it explicitly, but it seems to be an implicit reference when you set up your talk. But I was thinking specifically about this picture, because other initiated repair, one of the features of it is that it can be done at any moment. So I was wondering how you think about this project in relationship to other initiated repair.
Well, one of the interesting, this of course links up very much with acknowledgement and the whole bunch of what you might call minimal responses, where the argument is also when they occur, they are there because there was no occasion to initiate a repair, and here you have the same issue, of course, that once the teacher does not produce a check or does not initiate other repair, this is apparently in a the assumption, so the pause in the 1.4 pause, thereby gets a meaning of we both take this to be understood, because no repair was initiated, but no other repair was invited as well.
We'll stop there for the hand up. Thank you once again, Tom.